Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Go to church or you're going to go to hell.
Oh, gosh. You know, this is all a surprise. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. Going through the headlines, you know, announcements from the first hour, just to reiterate, we're having a book drive. RBN's John Stadmiller book drive now through January 8th. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. I'm not sure what this week's book is yet, but I will let you know as soon as I do. And congratulations to previous winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Angry, Gary, Sharon, Renee, Chaos, and the next Robert. And thank you to everyone for your generous support. The network obviously cannot exist without you. So the Ford Foundation will not come a-calling. Not going to happen. The article that I mentioned at the end of the last hour, I'm going through the RBN headlines right now, before we get back to the clips on this other stuff, this, you know, these shenanigans. What I would call generally things like well, like I said, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah meet Jezebel kind of thing. This, what is happening, this inclusivity so-called, and, you know, inclusion and tolerance and all of that, it's Marcusean repressive tolerance, and it won't long be quiet or idle or passive. It's about to get active. It's about to get aggressive and kinetic, as they say. Which is why I mention, you know, the story of Lot, for example. That's where it's going. It's going to get there. And there are things that are happening that have been planned for a long time. You know, all of this goes back to Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 6. The idea is to corrupt man and to pit him against God and, you know, imagine the heartbreak, because what happened in Genesis chapter 6, you know, that's one of the big, profound, provocative observations in Genesis 6. The two verses back to back, verse 5 and verse 6, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, Baptist preachers say, and God was angry. No, that's not what it says. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. His, you know, corruption, his creation corrupted from the garden, walking with man, to now all of a sudden, just three chapters later after that. That's pretty short in terms of chapters. Bruckheimer Simpson got nothing on that. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That sounds hyperbolic. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. And the next verse, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth. He was grieved in his heart. So, you know, I believe that's one of the things kind of, you know, that's part of the what the rebellious spark has in view. Yeah, let's do that. So, you know, again, Genesis 19, this crazy stuff is going on. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly." Spiritual implications, consequences of Dunning-Kruger, Sodom and Gomorrah meet Jezebel, that kind of stuff. Anyway, there are things that are brewing that are not accidental or coincidental. This article from Global Research that I mentioned, the big hoax from climate change to biodiversity, which you can find on RBN, it links to Global Research too, obviously. Fraud of biblical proportions toward massive population reduction and bankrupting world economy. Of course, all of that was planned. The climate shenanigans, this Mother Earth stuff, this goofy image of these kids that have no idea what they're doing. Resistance is fertile. What? Compost capitalism. They don't know what they're doing. And that fist, that Serta Popovic, Otpor canvas, Gene Sharp, color revolutionary, Marxist fist. Congratulations. What is the point of that? It's the socialist revolutionary impulse, workers of the world unite, kind of a thing that you see in, you know, Hayek describes, I think, very well in chapter 2. The great utopia. It is rarely remembered now that socialism in its beginnings was frankly authoritarian. The French writers who laid the foundation of modern socialism had no doubt that their ideas could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. What were they trying to put into practice? Was it the revolution? No. Listen. Strong dictatorial government. What were they trying to put into practice? To them, socialism meant an attempt to terminate the revolution. Ah. So you get people all stirred up. You turn things upside down. You get people all agitated, you know, fighting against each other. Then you have a nanny come in, and as soon as everything is sufficiently torn down and burned down and you can start over, you go, whoa, 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 okay, hold on, break it up, break it up. I'm here to, there's a new sheriff in town. To them, socialism meant an attempt to terminate the revolution, quote unquote, by a deliberate reorganization of society on hierarchical lines and by the imposition of a coercive spiritual power, quote unquote. Where freedom was concerned, the founders of socialism made no bones about their intentions. Freedom of thought they regarded as the root evil of 19th century society, and the first of modern planners, Saint Simon, even predicted that those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle, quote unquote. I have seen many videos recently I think more than normal. It seems like there are more than usual. Let's see. In Memoriam, ABC News. The year 2022, remembering the lives we lost, ABC News. Actors we sadly say goodbye to. That's a Looper video. CBS Sunday Morning, Hail and Farewell. There are a number of these. It feels like more this year. And you know, among the folks that we lost that ABC and CBS and NBC will not be celebrating is Nikki Raponna. And she was the one who reminded us that if we're going to be bumping into this dialectical nonsense, it's best to live outside of it, apart from it, separate from it, outside the dialectic. So anyway, you know, we have all of these contrived things. Gary Kaa wrote pretty specifically, among other folks, many others, about, you know, going back to the 90s in particular, how you have this green revolutionary nonsense that is coming into view. The table of contents from the New World Religion. After the introduction, laying the foundation, unveiling the plan, presenting occultism as science, mysticism and medicism toward, or excuse me, mysticism and medicine. That's an interesting portmanteau sort of Freudian type thing. Is it a Freudian portmanteau? I don't know. Toward world unity, the environmental agenda, shaping global citizens, the new religious order. That's where it's, that's where that stuff is headed. That is the point. That is sort of the punchline. Chapter 9, Crossing the Threshold. The demonic roots of globalism. Table of contents. Chapter 1, laying the foundation for Omega Point. Chapter 2, presenting the occult as a science. Chapter 3, the facade of global unity. Chapter 4, deceptions of a post-Christian era. Not as clearly laid out anyway. These plans have been long in waiting. Not that long, though, by bad guy standards. For them, 50 years is like 20 minutes. For us, it's glacial speed. We can't even tell. To finish the headline so we can get to the clips. Murder They Wrought, Part 2 by Paul Craig Roberts. It is murder to withhold a cure from people who are at risk of death if left untreated. Lots has been said about that. Anyway, you can read the article. Loy Brunson, the decision could be 9-0. Interesting stuff. New Biden laptop investigation drops truth bombs across the planet. You know, these are interesting stories, but I wonder, you know, how much is just kind of limited hangout type stuff in the scheme of, you know, the bigger picture. Bigger, broader scheme of things. Mark Dice, The War on White People, sounds like agitprop, but, you know, again, you think of Frederick Lindemann and the abdication of the white man, which is not to, you know, sound racist. I know that sounds racist in today's PC culture, but, or so-called, you know, the Marcusean repressive tolerance milieu, but it's not. It's to acknowledge that Frederick Lindemann was a real guy who wrote some real things that seemed to be, or said, was quoted as saying some real things that seemed to be coming true. That's strange. What, how is that happening? Anyway, that's we're going to leave it there for the headlines and get back to the clip type things. So speaking of all of that and this influence, crazy the influence. Paul Washer on Charismatic emotional worship music versus didactic worship, proper reverence, fear of God, holiness, that kind of stuff. This, you know, there are a lot of people who, if you ask them what they like about the Chosen TV series, you know, they'll say things like the Jesus, you know, the portrayal of whatever so-called biblical stuff, even though Dallas Jenkins himself has said 95% of the content is extra biblical. In other words, I would say heretical. It's unbiblical. Putting words in Jesus' mouth, that's, man. And then to, you know, double down on those kinds of things, wow. Again, out of self. What happens, you know, if you get to that point and you pray? And I really think, you know, a lot of people like to talk about the whole crowdfunding thing. I find that suspect as well. I've talked about that. I don't want to belabor it. Anyway, Paul Washer on Worship of Modern Christians. Can we play that, please?
Well, the book of Psalms is full. The book of Psalms is a songbook of worship. So yes, you can sing. But here's something I think would be very important for you to understand. If you ever write a book on the doctrine of God, you're going to notice something very unusual. What I mean by the doctrine of God is you write a book on all the Bible teaches about the attributes of God. You know what you're going to discover? That more than 50% of your entire book will come from the book of Psalms. You will find most of the texts about the attributes of God in the book of Psalms. So our singing ought to be theological. And if you are going to have a worship leader, if you are going to do that, he needs to be a theologian. He needs to know God, and he needs to walk in the fear of God and holiness, probably even more than the one who preaches the word. It is a terrible thing that we do in churches today with regard to worship, because we do not know the fear of God. A young boy has a guitar, and he can sing well. Let's let him lead worship. We ought to realize that in the book of Leviticus, God killed two worship leaders because they did not worship him conform to the scriptures. Worship is a dangerous thing. Another thing that we need to realize is this. Worship is supposed to be didactic. It is supposed to be a tool for teaching. Let me read a text to you. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So worship springs forth out of someone who is saturated by the word of God. "With all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So the purpose of singing in the church is first and foremost to bless God. Secondly, it is didactic, to teach those who are singing, to encourage them, admonish them, and to even be, I suppose, a witnessing tool for those who are listening that are unbelievers. This is a problem I have with much of the modern music. Not all of it, but a lot of it. They don't follow these principles. It's more about feeling. I'm going to be very honest with you. And if you get angry with me, just forgive me. I'm an American. I'm rude. Sometimes. Much worship in the churches today is nothing more than a celebration of flesh. It is an exercise in emotion. If you begin to feel the presence of God during the high, emphatic notes of the song, when the rhythm has been lifted up and the music is just glorious, and you only feel the presence of God then, it's not the presence of God you're feeling. It's emotion. I have known people, some of the holiest people I know, that will sit down and worship. They have no music. I'm not saying this is the only way to do it, but they have no music. Someone will say, "Let's sing hymn number 52. And they'll start singing. And then another person will say, "What about hymn 103? And they'll start worshiping. They are some of the godliest people I know who understand worship deeply. And yet I'll bring people to that church who are all about the music and they'll go, boy, this is dead. Because their idea of life is not the true presence of Christ. It's these amazing songs that lift your emotion. Now, there's not necessarily something wrong with that, but be very careful. One time I was with a group and they said, God is here. Man, the music was going. God's here. I said, no, He's not. And they said, how do you know? I said, because most of you would be dead if God was here. Because He's a holy God. And you know the sin that's going on in this church. People get so in the flesh because they feel something. I'm going to stop here, but just realize this. I hear people, you know, I was shaving this morning and Jesus appeared to me. Did you stop shaving? They're so nonchalant about the presence of God. In the Bible, when the presence of God showed up, woe is me, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You say, oh, that's the Old Testament. John on the Isle of Patmos, Christ appears, falls as a dead man. I'm not saying that the presence of God is always like that, but when it's never like that, when it's always bless me, bless me, bless me, joy, 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 dance, 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 something is terribly wrong.
There you go. We could probably just leave it there. End of show. Could have just left it at that. 5 minutes. Paul Washer on Worship of Modern Christians. And, you know, all of this stuff, the, you know, things that people have talked about, you know, there is, can you see what's happening? There is a confluence occurring where you have the Hillsong, Bethel, feel-good stuff, and then you have, I don't know, Beyonce. You know, she's talking about church girls. I mean, it must be okay. Well, if anyone who thinks that is, you know, has fallen victim to, again, the low moral standards of the Gnostic influence and the counterfeiting of the biblical. Colossians talks about this, for example. I mentioned this before, you know, the syncretism, fusing Jewish legalism, Greek philosophic speculation, Oriental mysticism, you know. So whether it's the Hillsong Bethel stuff or whatever other charismatic emergent church, you know, New Apostolic Reformation, church growth movement type stuff that is feel good. And it, guess what? There is a particular formula at work. There's another thing I got to get to. Let's see. Let me just finish this real quick while I'm talking about this. So, you know, I mentioned the, you know, there's a formula. So, the Chosen TV series, all the rage these days, mainly among ladies 25 to 45, ages 25 to 45, a particular demographic therein also. Is that a coincidence? Nope, it's the YouTube formula. Daryl Eve's book on how anyone can unlock the algorithm to drive views, 60 billion plus, according to him. You can go to his website, ytformula.com. You'll hear him saying all this himself. So what does that have to do with The Chosen and all this other kind of stuff, the original deception, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5, and so on? The answer is everything. Mormon Daryl Eves is the executive producer of The Chosen, and his YouTube formula, quote-unquote, targets the specific persona. Remember yesterday we talked about persons and personas. We didn't actually play the TrueStream Media clip, but I mentioned it. And, you know, Melissa Dyke's talking about the curious history of the word person. So, but that's, these are Daryl Eve's words. The YouTube formula targets the specific persona. That's what he wrote. Of 25 to 45-year-old ladies, married or unmarried, churchgoer, volunteer. That's who it is. That's the demographic. 25-year-old female, married or unmarried, churchgoer, volunteer. Go to page 150 of the YouTube formula. You'll see it for yourself. If you don't see the correlation directly to the first deception, Genesis chapter 3, this is why I'm saying this is not supposed to be a Sunday morning thing. This is supposed to be history repeating itself right in plain sight kind of thing. It's astonishing. So, you know, to sort of come full circle on all of this shenanigans, speaking of Wonder Woman, I mentioned that earlier, William Moulton Marston, and the interview. Pastor Joe Schimmel, Good Fight Ministries, Dorian Virtue. The video is titled Secret Satanic Agenda and Superhero Movies. And he, Schimmel, has obviously done a lot of homework on that. Anyway, Marston said this. Wonder Woman, you know, that's part of the deal. You know, I wonder, no, that's too long now. We should play that clip. Maybe we will in the next segment. So Marston, speaking of the guy, you know, the polyamorous polygamist who was behind the creation of Wonder Woman, so-called. According to Marsden, Wonder Woman is psychological propaganda for the new type of woman who, he said, I believe should rule the world. And I think Spencer Smith did a great job in his Third Adam stuff of pointing out that what this, the spirit of this Gnostic, you know, feel good, familiar, friendly kind of stuff does is it turns the order of God completely upside down. And so instead of God, Adam, Eve, children, etc., you have that completely flipped on its head, and you have children are told that, you know, they are the smartest people on earth and they're fantastic. Mom probably runs the house. Dad's an idiot. You know, Jesus is somewhere below that, and he's a cool, friendly guy that we all kind of hang out with, like you see on The Chosen. It's a complete debauchery of what is biblical. And then, of course, God the Father somewhere down. Nah, you know what? We don't even acknowledge him. I mean, that, and that's kind of where I'm going with the stuff that I suddenly discovered. So I have talked about how if you look into the history of the word blasphemy, it's not just that which profanes or is overtly contemptuous. It's also that which derogates. And I don't think that can be overstated. So to derogate is to lessen or detract or take away or somehow lessen, dishonor, degrade. Etc., etc. And that is what The Chosen television series does, among many, many other things, including what happens on Sundays in many places across the land. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. One of the videos that I intended to play, but I'm sort of conflicted because it's a little long and maybe belabors the point. The Cult of the Chosen, Emotional Manipulation on Steroids, Exposing the Chosen, Season 3 Premiere. So, you know, there was the premiere and everybody's doing this red carpet, emerald carpet type thing. And it's like a Hollywood thing. It's exactly the kind of emotional, well, manipulation is a good way to put it, on steroids, that I think Paul Washer gets to in a clip that we played previously. So I think I'll forgo that one. You can watch it if you like. It's 10 minutes, 42 seconds long. The Cult of the Chosen, Emotional Manipulation on Steroids. you know, the whole Jonathan Rumi, this is going to melt your face off thing, that's kind of what people are talking about. It's hyperbolic, to say the least. And at what point do you acknowledge that really there's no difference between you and the world? But that's kind of the point that, you know, all these guys are talking about. In fact, that's essentially, I mean, you have the worship, so-called, the music aspect of this that Matthew Nelson and Dan Hazeltine, you know, Jars of Clay guys who are behind the music for The Chosen, have talked about. And you look at those guys and it's really, you know, not surprising that Nelson, you know, they're both effeminate. I don't think anyone would dispute that. And, you know, Hazeltine is an LGBT crusader. Nelson has all kinds of, you know, Buddhist and esoteric imagery all over his social media, you know, including quotes by Alan Watts on Zen Space Music and so forth. So at what point do you say, hey, there's really no separation? But that's what they said, you know, and actually we like that, you know, the more familiar, the more relatable, the better. That's not the God of the Bible. God of the Bible is holy, separate, set apart. So maybe instead of playing that video, you know, and then of course, lest we forget, you know, the YouTube formula, we played that video. Speaking of the Counterfeit Chosen channel, Counterfeit Chosen, The Chosen Exposed, maybe we could play that one. Can we play that, the Healing of the Paralytic Man, just the first 38 seconds of that one? Can we play that as a reminder, please? No, I'm hoping that you will. This one, 38 seconds. Please. You may fire when ready, Gridley. Go ahead, please.
Daryl Eves, the Mormon, who is the executive producer of The Chosen, wrote a book called The YouTube Formula, where he reveals his strategy behind The Chosen. On page 150, he says that his target audience was females from the ages of 25 to 45 years old, churchgoers, volunteer. Why would Dallas Jenkins and the producers of The Chosen feel that they could change the narrative of the Bible and replace four men who brought a paralytic to Jesus with a woman?
Come. Come.
There you go. That's enough of that. So, it's the YouTube formula. In the other video that I mentioned more recently, she says, please watch this month's newsletter from the Berean Call, The Jesus the World Loves, December newsletter. That's a video on the Berean Call YouTube channel. This is an updated version of the Berean Call article back in 2008. Normally, so this is and the article by T.A. McMahon, back in 2008, and I mentioned some of this stuff. You know, he is, again, I think he has a great perspective on this kind of stuff. So the Jesus the world loves, and this is from a movie industry perspective in particular. Anyway, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4 applies with force here. Last little clip from the movie, like I said, the interview, Dorian Virtue interviewing Joe Schimmel, Secret Satanic Agenda in Superhero Movies, which is, includes extended excerpts from his documentary, Marvel DC Exposed. Here's a little excerpt from that. Go ahead, please.
David Nutter, the director of the Smallville pilot, when commenting on the episode when Clark is hung up on a scarecrow mask by some bullies which resembles a cross, Nutter states, quote, "I thought there were a lot of metaphors between Clark and Jesus, actually, and I tried to throw in as many of them as I could," end quote. Zack Snyder, who directed Batman vs. Superman and who directed the 2013 movie Superman Man of Steel, admitted, "The Christ-like parallels, I didn't make that stuff up. That is a tried and true Superman metaphor," end quote. Folks, when comic writers and artists are seeking over and over again to empty Christ of his virtue and godhood, and at the same time robbing Christ of those same virtues and giving them to the superheroes, I think we all know who the ultimate superhero really is.
But it's interesting, since you mentioned the 30s, we go back to the 30s and 40s, and you look at even Wonder Woman, when it seems so innocent. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are unaware that the comic code, which was developed in the 50s because there was so much wickedness in the comics, Senate, they were having a Senate inquiry into the whole comics, and many folded because there was so much junk. But Marvel and DC and a few others got together and said, "Hey, we'll police ourselves, we'll police ourselves." And they created the comic code, which was not to glorify the occult, not to show women in really seductive ways with cleavage and everything else, not to make the bad guys look good. Well, since then, both Marvel and DC have long scrapped the comic. They constantly broke it or pushed the edges. Then they just jettisoned it. It's not used. But even prior to the comic code in the 30s and 40s with Wonder Woman, I mean, you had, why is Wonder Woman and the other gals, and it's kind of this, lesbian-esque kind of society. And by the way, Wonder Woman is now kissing other girls. She's marrying, she's officiating in lesbian marriages right now in the comics. Okay. Wow. No kidding. But back then, they were already pushing the envelope. They're spanking each other, mm-hmm. Her favorite, maxim to yell out was connected to lesbo, mm-hmm. This whole thing. And they're spanking each other. They're using bondage a lot. Well, a lot of people said, something's wrong with this. Well, it wouldn't be found out till later that William Marston, who developed Wonder Woman and was responsible for creating the character, that he was in a so-called polyamorous relationship, living with two and sometimes three women. Third woman that would come by was full-blown hippie in the 30s, burning incense with beads and all into the esoteric stuff. And they would go to his aunt's place where they would practice sex magic. And they were into the Aquarian gospel way back then. Wow. And yeah, it gets even crazier because one of the women that he was in this polyamorous relationship with by the name of Byrne is the niece of Margaret Sanger. Now, a lady that loves Wonder Woman wrote a book called The Secret Life of, Wonder Woman, was given access to the archives of William Marston and so forth. And I think she writes for the New York Post, or I think it's New York Post. And she writes this, but it's glowing, she got permission because they thought she'd be friendly. But she unearthed some really interesting things. And she documents that that William Marston had made Wonder Woman in the likeness of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. No kidding. I mean, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's the woman who was because they wanted to make Wonder Woman not just a comic, they wanted to make her broader, make her a I know we're not talking about Wonder Woman today, but just hopefully mm-hmm. people didn't realize.
Yeah, no, I'm interested because before I was saved on Halloween when I used to practice it, that was my costume. I always dressed up as Wonder Woman because wow. she was like the only comic book hero that I thought, oh, here's a strong woman.
To relate
strong,
to,
powerful
yeah.
woman. Yeah, and a lot of women, and they feel the same way about Wonder Woman. So this is mind-blowing.
Right. Right, and they talk to in this book. She talks about how the one who was going to do the Wonder Woman column for the newspapers, because Marston didn't have time to do that, so he brought her in, and she said to get me ready for the party, gave me a bunch of books by Margaret Sanger, and he wanted to be based on Margaret Sanger, and he's living with one of his wives. He wasn't officially married to her. Mm-hmm. Byrne is the niece of Margaret Sanger, you know.
Wow. So, and for those who aren't aware, you know, because Planned Parenthood is good at spinning their marketing just to say, we're healthcare, we're pro women, we're pro choice. But Margaret Sanger was a eugenist and a racist.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we didn't get we have a whole video coming out on Wonder Woman, and we actually show mm-hmm. Marston having captions where, you know, Black people are being duped in Africa and they're treated as being very, you know, not intelligent. And they're being duped by the Nazis to allow eugenicists to just basically depopulate them because mm-hmm. they're inferior human beings. And like I said, you can't make it up because, as you know, Margaret Sanger was working with Nazi eugenicists and mm-hmm. so forth. And she ended up actually,
right out of this there. Day or more. And do you recall back, you know, about 3 years ago now, right at the beginning, at the outset of the COVID shenanigans, the nonsense, I said, we're getting the Africa treatment now. And we've been dumbed down to the point that we don't even, it's probably good. We, you know, it's all right. Anyway, final point, and we'll go to the phones. Speaking of all of this nonsense, I found the reference. It's John Dyer. J.HN is his latest website. 10 years ago when we got HTML5, he was, you know, he was instrumental in creating this thing called Media Element J.JS, and it's an HTML5 video and audio, you know, because we got the video and the audio element with HTML5. And so this was a wrapper for stuff. And then along the way, you know, it seems like he's figuring out what's actually going on. Has this course that he teaches taught in the spring of 2021 anyway, at Dallas Theological Seminary, Theology, Technology, and Digital Culture. Has, you know, posts like Christmas Nativity Mistakes, Cybertrucks, and Overbooked Inns. And like I said, the NASB 95 versus 2020, you know, every change, that was his post. And talking about how he did a comparison using Node.js and the Diff library. Well, that's pretty brilliant because you can, instead of having a room full of scholars pouring over the text, you can use this technology to isolate the changes in seconds, literally a minute or two. So that's pretty brilliant. No sooner had I found that than I found this post that he wrote December 16 titled The Incarnation of the Gender of God. Oh, you've piqued my curiosity. Which points to an article that he wrote for Fathom magazine, fathommag.com, in which he writes, as I discuss, this apparently arose as a result of questions from his daughter. As I discuss God and gender with my daughter and son, there are two key truths that I've tried to emphasize. The first is that God is neither male nor female, really, masculine nor feminine. Unlike creatures, the scripture tells us that God is spirit, John 4:4, indeed, and therefore does not have body or body parts. To claim God is male or female would be to claim that a being without male parts can be male. While most Christians would affirm that God is not male, and I am astonished, really, then did the Holy Spirit make a mistake with those myriad passages Father, Father, Father. Did Jesus misspeak when he was saying, pray then after this manner, our Father is in heaven, you know, call no one Father but your Father which is in heaven. I mean, over and over through the Gospels you have your Father which is in heaven, your Father which is in heaven, your Father which is in heaven, spoken predominantly by Jesus himself. I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Was he confused? And lest we wonder or doubt, this is Strong's G3962, Pater in the Greek. So to deny the paternity of God is to declare oneself an illegitimate child and God a liar. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
flashbulbs, no line. He's haunted by something
Welcome back.
He cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquake.
Final segment to the phones, Melissa and Marilyn. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Okay. Hi there.
Good morning.
We were, do you mind if I take you? I can postpone the conversation and call you back some other time. Do you mind if I bring up abortion with you, or would you prefer that for another show?
Well, it definitely is applicable. I would say it's fitting at this point. You know, Wonder Woman fashioned in the likeness of Margaret Sanger, and no wonder that ladies who idolize this kind of thing and Gal Gadot's portrayal of her most recently, you know, are they Susie Homemakers, so to speak? No, probably not going to
be. Okay, well, yeah, when you thought of Margaret Sanger, I thought that it was relevant because she started, mm-hmm. you know, the birth control review and then later mm-hmm. became Planned Parenthood. Let me just mention this to you because you might have a 50-state audience. I said because you might have a 50-state audience is what I said. One of the things that I like to do, now whether or not you get published is a different story, but one of the things that I like to do is the local hospitals, and you may not have a hospital in your county, you know, hospitals are set up differently. You might not have one in every county, but one of the things that I like to do is that the local hospitals, at the beginning of the year, they will cover the first birth of the year. You know, if you have a paper newspaper, they'll put it on the front page and they'll say, you know, was the first baby born in the new year. What I like to do is I like to encourage the press to cover the first abortion of the year. And I like to
Isn't
encourage
it funny them- how if you do that, you know, we're supposed to say this is, you know, my body, my choice, women's reproductive rights nonsense. But if you suggest what you just said, hey, let's celebrate. Oh, you're a hater. You're obviously whatever. I mean, you can just imagine what the fallout would be. Why not?
Well, you know, and it's just, you know, and these stories would be spicy. Everybody would read them because the details of the abortion are completely different. The patient, you know, might not want to be on the identified or on the front page. And, you know, you would ask, well, you know, did the daddy
Why is that?
If it's such a back and just all of that.
If it's such
stuff,
a virtuous
you know?
And noble thing, why not? Why not do that? Yeah, absolutely. What are we trying to hide? Nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Come on now.
Yeah, because, you know, we would like the details of the abortion affair available to us. And then, you know, the
why
other
can't we do that? Absolutely. Yeah. It's an interesting point. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, Melissa. We are...
Keep up the good work. Uh-huh.
Thank you. You too. Hopefully some of that made sense. I'll stick more ramblings in the archive. That'll do it for today's broadcast. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.